If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Another episode of the Monorail Tales. On tonight's episode, you have me, Sheila, my hubby, Steve, and the one and only, Al. On this show, Al is going to take the lead and will be sharing more about his adventures from working at Walt Disney World. We might even get some non-Dizzy stories thrown in as well. So, all exciting stuff. So,
Yeah,
at this time, I'm going to pass it to Al and ask the big question. What is the topic for our listeners tonight?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Sheila. Good evening, Steve. Good evening, listeners. Tonight's amazing topic is Disney traditions, your first official work day at Disney. Disney traditions, believe it or not, Sheila and Steve, was actually conceived by Walt Disney himself. And every single person who works for the Disney company, whether you're an Imagineer or whether you're someone coming in at a high, high level, or you're the person that there is no low level, but everybody takes traditions together. So when you take traditions, you're going to be in there with COVID, it might have changed a little bit, but you're going to be in there typically with 100 of your fellow hosts and hostesses from all different divisions. And it's the first time you really go and realize that you're in a big Disney family. And everyone might be different, but you're all the same. You're all together. And you have that first day of Disney traditions at the one and only amazing Disney University.
Okay. First question, Al.
Yes.
I just want to confirm. You say Walt Disney started this. Does this mean traditions has been in place since 1955?
Yes. As far as I know, he was a big believer in this. And I was researching when the actual classes started, but as far as I know, this was an idea by him, and I believe it started in California. So I wasn't able to find the exact date of it. It's been going on for a really, really long time. And I can tell you that out of all the iconic people, you know, you think of iconic people like Colonel Sanders, or you think of Ray Kroc from McDonald's, but Walt Disney is the most heartfelt, and people, you know, refer to him as Uncle Walt, because don't forget, Uncle Walt came into, if you're of a certain age, he came into our living room every single Sunday night with the Disney Wonderful World of Color. And we think of all these movies and all these theme parks. And so he was Uncle Walt. And when you take traditions, that's how Uncle Walt is portrayed. He's portrayed in a very loving, uncle-y fashion as a creator, as an imaginer, as the most iconic person probably of the 20th century in terms of entertainment.
Okay, so Al, I've gone through the interview process. I've passed all my interviews. So now I'm getting hired by Disney. Walk me through that process.
So after you do all your paperwork, which is typically on computer these days, you're going to get an email. And it's going to ask you, and this is very vital to anybody listening, if you have one takeaway during the show, this is going to be the most important thing for your Disney career. And it's never really mentioned by Disney. And I haven't really heard so many people mention it either, but it's extremely important. After you get hired, you're going to get an email. And Disney is going to typically offer you 3 or 4 different traditions classes. Now, on the face of it, you know, if say it's a Friday and you get the email and they're going to say to you, well, we want you to take traditions. You have a choice of Monday, Wednesday, or next Friday. Some people are going to pick Monday, Some people are going to pick Friday or Wednesday. But I would tell you it's very important to pick the Monday, because your first official work day at Disney is when you take traditions. It's not when you get that email of an offer or your paperwork is done. And the reason why this is so vital is because everything at Disney works off of a bid system. So by me, say, joining on a Monday, taking traditions on a Monday, and if you take it on a Friday, even though we were hired the same day or got the email at the same time, I have a higher seniority than you. So in the case of security, if, say, Fantasyland comes up, which is a land unit, land units are very hard to get, and we go through the bid process, I'm going to get Fantasyland, and you know, no one's going to tell you really. You know, you're going to wonder, wow, how did Al get that? We were hired on the same day. And then someone will tell you, well, why don't you check the seniority? And you'll see I'm two or three spots ahead of you. And after inquiry, you'll find out, well, he probably took traditions before you did because he's got a lower, higher date than you. So it's the biggest takeaway. Take traditions as soon as you can, because it really is vital for your career to have that, no matter what division you're going into.
And you know what? I would never have thought of that, to be quite honest.
No one does. I mean, you know, as much as I knew about Disney, it was my hobby always, and I never knew that either. And it never was an issue, but someone had come to me later on, and they said, well, you know, you're two spots above me. And I said, I didn't even realize that. And I told this cast member, he's a security host, a very close friend of mine. And I said, well, I probably went to traditions before you. And he's, I never knew that. And it's funny because his father is actually retiring from Disney. His father's actually one of the, he's got a very high position. I don't want to say what he does because it would narrow it, but he's been there for like 40 years. And it's, he, as a son of us, as an executive, it's been there for so long. He never even knew that, or never thought about it. So it's something that really comes up.
Already I'm starting lots of questions, so I hope I'm not going to throw you off here.
Never.
And let's just go back to, okay, you are a new cast member going first day to traditions. Before we get into the information, can we talk about feelings as well? What does that feel like? You're heading to this building on Disney property. How exciting is that, or nerve-wracking?
Oh my heavens, it feels amazing. Now again, each feeling is going to be different for everybody. I mean, if you're like me, a Disney nerd, and I would think most people kind of lean in that direction, but there are some people who just are going for a job and a paycheck, so they don't look at it that way. But, and this is another thing I want to tell folks, is that you got to really take it in. And if you're a Disney fan or a person who loves it, going to traditions is the most amazing thing. And we're going to talk about that. But before you get to Disney University, what's the feeling? It is amazing that now you're a part of the Disney company. And you're amongst that rich tradition. So now you get this email and it tells you, okay, you got to show up to Disney Traditions. It tells you to wear business casual. So you get up. It's an 8-hour class at Disney University, which in and of itself, before we even get to traditions, is a marvel in and of itself, because a lot of people don't know, even though Disney University is not technically an accredited school, it does have a lot of accreditation state-wise and federally, and people don't realize that the reason why cast members or anybody can't bring weapons on Disney property is because of Disney University. See, if you work at SeaWorld or you work at Universal, if you have a weapons license, of course you can't bring it to work, you know, walking on stage or anything like that. But at SeaWorld or Universal, if you have a weapons license, you could bring it to the parking lot and leave it in your car or your truck. At Disney, you're not able to do that. At Disney, they're always walking around with the canines. If the canine alerts next to you, they'll take you out to your car. And if they find the slightest little thing out there, I mean, not even a weapon, it could be something, even a part of a weapon, it's immediate termination. And the reason why they can do that is because Disney University is an official school. And that's what differentiates Disney from Universal and SeaWorld and any theme park around the country. And that's why Disney is super safe, because that school is like the beacon of where it all starts.
Wow.
Something else I didn't know.
Nope.
And in fact, Al, I'm going back quite a few weeks ago, maybe when we first started talking with each other, I thought the university was the building by Disney Springs.
No, that's actually the, it's called, that's actually called casting. That's where you'll go for interviews, like if you want to be a manager possibly, or you go there for your fingerprints when you get hired. So that's pretty much where you're going to go and do those kinds of things. But the actual school, now Disney Casting is a big building. Technically, you could probably take a class in there, but the real classes, I mean, Disney offers a lot of classes. I mean, you think of all the divisions from merchandise to custodial to everything. They are constantly doing classes in there. And that is the place that you're doing your classes. And the one you're thinking of is casting, which is a beautiful building, too.
Okay, so for our listeners, where is this university on Disney property?
So that's interesting, too, because it's actually right behind. The best way to get to it is if you think about the Contemporary and World Drive, you're basically going to drive by the Contemporary. So essentially, it's going to be behind the Tron roller coaster, past the Contemporary, just keep on going. And this is what leads to the magnificent mystery of going to Disney Traditions, because if you're a Disney person, and I'm telling this to everyone who's listening, when you go to Traditions, you have to, this is part of the amazing thing, before you even get and walk into that building, you got to realize this is a, it's technically a backstage area, but because you don't have your ID card yet, it's a gray area. But when you drive, you'll see that little, people out there who are listening might know there's a little white sign that tells you, you know, cast members only beyond this point. And you guys have probably seen it, maybe never taken notice of it. But once you go by that, you're in like a non-guest area. Now, they have them all over the property, but the ones at the Magic Kingdom are the best, because once you go past the Contemporary, you're going to see such amazing things back there that they have. For instance, the first thing you're going to come to is you're going to see the back end of the Tron roller coaster, which is amazing in and of itself. And you say, wow, look at this. I'm seeing this from the back end. I never saw this view before. And you keep on going, right? And then you turn the corner. And what do you see? The monorail roundhouse with nine beams. Now, we're used to seeing, you know, lesser beams, like at the park, you see a couple of beams, resort line, you see the main line, right? You see nine monorail beams protruding out of this building. And you'll see the tractors that pull the monorails there. You'll see some monorails coming and going. Below the monorails, below the roundhouse, is where they keep the steam engines. So you might be lucky enough to see a steam engine coming or going.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It is incredible. And they do a tour there, too. It's called the Steam Engine Tour. So you're going to go by that. So you keep on going. And then before you get, you know, to the university, you're going to see this avenue. It's called Facilities Way. And Facilities Way is incredible because right on the corner, you'll see a sign that says Holiday Services. And that's where they keep all the Christmas decorations and all the holiday decorations for the Magic Kingdom and for all the resorts on the Magic Kingdom area. And if you go at the right time, they'll have the Christmas trees just standing right outside. Oh, it's cool. Unbelievable. And if you happen to make a wrong turn and you go down Facilities Way, that's where they have the machine shop that creates all the railroad spikes for Disney. And if they collect like pocket knives at security, what we used to collect, that's where they melt down all the knives and stuff that people don't want. It's where they craft all the things that go into the rides, and everything that happens gets crafted right there. It's unbelievable. And then you keep on going, and before you get to the university, you look across the street and you see Disney Costuming, which is where there's one in every area, but that's one of the ones, the Magic Kingdom Costuming. And you'll see cast members coming and going with costumes, holding every kind of costume you could imagine. And then you keep on going, and now you see Disney University. And it's this, I sent you a picture of it, and it's this gray building with like a nice Disney sign on it. And you pull into the parking lot, and you kind of smell maybe soap suds, or you might smell something like an extra clean. And you look across the way, and it's one of the Disney laundries. Disney has about seven or eight laundries. And this one does all the towels for the Contemporary and the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian. And it's got Mickey kind of in a soap bubble type of Mickey. And it's so amazing. And then if that doesn't do it for you, you find a spot at Disney University. You come out of your car, and what do you hear? The whistle from the Tom Sawyer's boat, from the paddle boat. You could hear that at the parking lot. And it's just amazing. So it hits you right there and then. I'm actually working for Disney. I'm seeing it. I'm hearing it. I'm actually part of the show. I'm super psyched, you know. And that's your introduction. That's so anyone who gets hired, you have to. I mean, of course, you could always go back, and you're a cast member, and you can always go and see that. And if you're working at Magic Kingdom or wherever you're working, you'll see those things. But when you first see it, it's like walking up. Kind of like walking up Main Street the first time. So what's the feeling, Sheila, for someone like me? Totally incredible. Knocked out, floored, never going to forget it, never going to – it's just incredible. And it never got old to me either, because there was always something going on, you know, whether it be a monorail being towed in or a train backing up, you know, going backwards, or the Christmas trees coming out, or the pumpkins on the side. It was mm-hmm. always something amazing.
I'm sat here with a big smile on my face. My eyes are wide. My ears are well open listening to all of this. The closest I can explain the feeling is like being a kid in a candy store. This is just so, you described it so well, Al. You
really?
You walked us down that road. That was, I don't want to go there.
You can't. You know, here's the thing. You can look, Disney, if you talk to someone in security or someone, they're going to say, look, you can't come back here. But people drive back there by accident all the time. I could tell you from working security, unless you're doing something suspicious, which is, you know, standing there, you're not allowed to take pictures back there at all. Unless you're standing there taking photographs, or you're, you know, standing outside the monorail roundhouse, which is another amazing thing that I forgot to tell you. You'll see the Disney logo, which says, "We move the magic," and it's just, oh my God, I'm seeing the slogan of transportation, "We move the magic," oh my God. But yeah, you can go back there, and unless you're doing something suspicious, they're going to leave you alone, because it happens all the time. And like I was saying, when you go to Disney Traditions, you're in a gray area, because you're not really officially a cast member. You don't have your ID card. You really don't know Disney protocol. So, you know, and it's very hard for them to put a barricade there, because there's a whole community that lives right behind, I can't remember the name of the community, but it's kind of like it's right behind the Magic Kingdom, and there's actually a development back there. And I believe the lady who plays, Steve would know her name, Ahsoka Katana from Star Wars. I believe she lives back there in one of those homes, or it's one of her homes, because she comes to the park very frequently. I have a good friend of mine who she was doing a lightsaber signing, and she told the lady who works in merchandise, who was actually helping her sign, you know, she was handing her the lightsabers as she was signing them, and they got to talking. And so she lives back there. So she's very commonly at the parks. But you can go back there and, you know, go back there. As long as you don't take any photographs, take the mental photograph, you could go back there and enjoy it, because there's really no way of blocking it off. There's two ways in. You could go in from the contemporary side, or you could go in from the side, which is kind of like the Dr. Phillips area. The opposite end of that is Dr. Phillips' neighborhood, which is a very high-end area. It's the best high school in Florida is Dr. Phillips. And second best is Celebration, where Matt had gone. But Dr. Phillips it's very, very high-end there. A lot of the teachers are people who've written books. And anyway, it's where you'll find Whole Foods, and there's a Trader Joe's back there, but you could come in that way as well. And I highly recommend it. I mean, as long as you don't do anything crazy back there or suspicious, security's going to leave you alone, because it happens all the time. So there's nothing to worry about.
By the way, that's Ashley Eckstein. Just to throw that name in there.
Ah, okay.
So, okay, you park your car.
Okay, you park your car. Now you come out of your car, and you're just taking it all in, and you're usually parking your car and you're seeing other cast members or other hosts. And this is kind of your first feeling of, hey, I'm part of something here. And you're walking up, and sometimes, you know, if you're a guy like me, a Brooklyn guy who's going to talk to, you know, I could talk the ear of a brass monkey, right? So you tend to have a conversation going, hey, isn't this great? Did you see this? Did you see that? Yeah, yeah. So you walk in. You walk right into the university. It's very big. So you're walking in, And as soon as you walk in, there's usually a cast member there, because sometimes they're doing two or three different traditions classes. There might be 5 or 10 things going on. So they're going to direct you. Oh, hey, okay, you're here for traditions? Okay, you're going to be in room A25. Just wait over here until your instructors come out, and you'll be fine. As soon as you walk in, now here's the thing about the university. You know, it hits you that Disney has, what, 120,000 employees or cast members, you know, in the world. It hits you that, wow, there's only 120,000 people or who can really come in here. Now, obviously, some people come from other companies and they're guests that come in. But generally, you're in a very small population in that sense, very privileged. So, and you're in here, right? When I tell you it is a Willy Wonka chocolate factory of Disney history and artifacts, it is incredible what they have in there. I mean, I took a photograph, I think I sent it to you, of me and Figment. And yeah. So you're talking statues, movie cells, quotes by Walt Disney, you name it, it's in there. Iconic, you know, props and things like that. It's just a certain, it's an amazing feeling. So you sit there and, you know, there's a restroom right up front. You could also eat for your first time in what they call, it's called the canteen. And it's like a, kind of like a quick serve place. And you go in there and it's really good. You can get burgers in there, sandwiches. So they're open pretty much like in the morning from 8 a.m. to about 5, 6 o'clock at night. So typically you don't do that because you're kind of like, you got the butterflies in your stomach and you just can't wait to go in there. So you go and you wait. And when the time comes, say 9 o'clock in the morning sharp, you'll have two instructors come out. Now, teaching traditions is a privilege. If I was still with Disney, it's something I would definitely put in for. It's a privilege. It's kind of something you want on your resume. But for someone like me, just to say that you've done it, it's to be picked for traditions. It's you go through maybe 6 or 7 interviews just to get picked for it, because it's very much a privilege to do it. So your two instructors come out and they say hello to you. They'll tell you the lineup, right? And unbeknownst to you, this is kind of your first Disney check, if you will, because when they line you up, they're not telling you, they're making sure that you're in business casual, because they'll tell you, don't wear sandals, don't wear sneakers. They'll tell you if you have a tattoo that's kind of offensive, cover it up. So this is your first really experience of Disney show. And typically, if there's 100 people there, you might get one person who they'll pick out of line, and they don't make a big deal of it. They'll just kind of speak softly to them. And either the person will leave and they'll reschedule traditions for them, or sometimes they can talk their way into it and say something like, well, this happened or that happened, I had no choice, and they'll let them stay, but if they've got a good reason for it. But that's your first Disney assessment right there and then. And as soon as they assess you and they check you in, okay, we're going to room A25 or B16 or whatever, and you walk down the hallway, and this is when you first see, off to the right, there's a special store. It's called Company D, and it's a store just for cast members. And it's one of the perks of being a cast member, because not only can you go in there and buy cast-exclusive merchandise, you could go in there and buy tickets to SeaWorld. You could buy tickets to Universal. And there's not a huge discount for those places, but you'll get maybe 10% off. That's where you buy your lanyards, all those fancy lanyards you see people wearing, like some of the managers or whatever, all your magnetics, all Disney pins, watches, pens. I mean, it's you're a kid in a candy store, and you can only buy in that store if you have a Disney ID. So you walk by this store, and some people actually wander in there and want to buy it right away, and they'll tell them, you're taking traditions? Well, on your first break, you'll have your ID card, and you'll be able to come and buy stuff then. So you go in. You're like, really? I want to buy it. I'm dying for it. What if? Don't worry, we have plenty of them. You know. So you go in and you sit. You go in. There's 100 other hosts as well, and you sit with your other hosts. Now here's another funny thing. If you go, say if all three of us went to traditions, what are we typically going to do? We're all going to go in there. We're all going to sit together, right?
Yeah.
At a table. Well, Disney knows this. Disney's been doing this a long time. So when you sit down at these tables that have like 8 or 10, you know, hosts at each table, you're going to have like a little piece of paper in front of you. And you don't know what it is. You don't turn it over. You just, you're just so in awe. You're looking at the classroom, and it's a very, very modern technology classroom, and everything high, you know, not high end, but like very, very current, and with the smart boards and all that stuff. And when they introduced themselves, you know, the first, I actually have the quote right here that I could read to you, and they say good morning to you, and they say, why are we here today? We are here to welcome and congratulate you. We also want to help you to be successful in your role by sharing valuable Disney information. You have many different reasons why you chose to work here. No matter the reason, we are glad you made that choice. You are important to us. Many people apply for roles here, but you were selected. Whether you work with our guests at our parks and resorts or support our cast behind the scenes, today is the beginning of your Disney story. And right there, you're like, oh my God, there it is. I'm a cast member. Holy cow. You know?
Yeah.
You just want to melt like right there, you know? And you're like, oh, some people start, it's like a Hallmark commercial. They start crying. They're just, you know, oh my God, you know? It's great. So then you get that juicy bit of information and you're just kind of recovering. And they say, okay, would everyone please pick up the piece of paper and turn it over? So you turn over this piece of paper. That we know you sat down maybe with some people here and, you know, with other hosts, but this is going to be your official table. So you turn over the paper and it tells you what table you're sitting at because the tables are numbered. So the advice is if you're going with all of us, if we all go together, everybody sit at a different table because doing that, you might sit together, you know?
Wow.
Just incredible. So yeah, so you find your table and you sit down with the other hosts and like everything else with 100 people, you have a smattering of, you're not going to have college CPs, what they call CPs. There's a Disney acronym, right? We didn't talk about last time. You don't have college kids or college students in regular traditions. They take their traditions, which is the same exact thing that you're learning pretty much, but they take it at their dorm. So you won't have college people in there with you, but you'll have, you know, young people, older people, middle-aged people, people from all walks of life. And it's literally from all walks of life. And you'll talk to them. And right off the bat, you can kind of pick out which ones that are really Disney people and which ones are just kind of there for a paycheck and which ones are in the middle. I mean, typically sometimes the ones in the middle tend to fare the most because the ones who are so into it, you know, it is a real place that you work in and you do meet real people and some managers might not be the best. And, you know, so the ones who are really, really, you know, hardcore traditional Disney fans, so to speak, sometimes they'll get, you know, oh, wow, I can't believe this happened in the company and whatever. You know, and then you get the ones who don't like the guests and you kind of see, wow, this man over here, he's not going to last very long. And he'll hear, oh, yeah, I'm working at the Emporium. And I said, wow, I could put a timer on this guy, boy, because, you know. Oh, yeah. And that's something else I want to tell folks is that when you're working for Disney is that if you go anywhere along the way, even up until you sign off in your training, Disney will recast you. So if you go that day and say you happen to sit with, say you go into merchandise and you sit with four people at your table with a merchandise because it's random and you decide right there and then that this merchandise thing is not for you or you just don't like something maybe you heard or you don't like maybe something how it is, you could just stand up at any point, go up to the instructor and say, listen, I think I made a mistake. I put merchandise, but I really would rather be attractions. Can you just, okay, no problem. You'll go out. Everything is very efficient. Go down the hall, talk to this person, and they'll recast you and tell you what you need to do, and you'll be somewhere else. So it's very, very efficient. So I just wanted to throw that out there for people. It's not like, you know, Disney is very, very accommodating. They really are accommodating. And what I want to say is, and the last time I took traditions, you know, you never know where life is going to take you. When I took traditions, I never knew that 10 days later, my son wouldn't be with us anymore. And so I'd always felt a kind of a brotherhood working at, you know, at Disney, because I had worked at the Disney store and I had worked at parks before earlier. But when I went that time, and it really is a brotherhood and a sisterhood. They do a tremendous job of making you feel like part of a family. I can't begin to emphasize that enough. So if you have any problems along the way or any questions, they are totally there to help you every step of the way. And it's just a great company.
That really surprises me, Al, that on traditions, you know, your first day, that if you think you're in the wrong slot, that they're willing to sort of like move you over on that same day.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like, you know, you go in and it's like, oh, I'm in merchandising. I forgot to tell you, I'm a kleptomaniac.
Yeah, right.
So this may not be a good place for me. Yeah,
exactly. You know, you might, if you're going to merchandise, I don't think anyone's ever told you guys this. It's not a big secret, but after traditions, you go for more training. If you're merchandise, the official mascot of merchandise is Piglet. I don't know if you guys ever heard that before.
No.
Yeah. He's the, so when you sit in the further training after traditions, right, they'll tell you, okay, I want to buy 4 Piglets and I'm going to use a credit card. Show me how that's done. And so all during the day, you're selling Piglets all throughout the day, cash wise, you know, credit wise, you name it. So maybe if you don't like Piglet, this ain't for me, merchandise. But yeah, they're very accommodating. And not only do they do it on traditions, they'll do it anywhere along the line. I mean, you could, you know, you have even a couple of weeks, I would say, before it never really is a problem. But I mean, obviously, the longer you go into it, then it's going to be like, well, okay, you want to do it. But you really have, I would say, at least 2 or 3 weeks till you really officially sign off. And even then, even when you officially sign off, you could put in for a transfer, or you could put in for a, you know, as long as you're a record card, as long as you haven't been disciplined, then that's going to be another show, Disney Discipline. But if you have a clean record card, which most people tend to have, they totally will accommodate you. They really want to have you be successful at Disney. They really, really do. And they really want you to be in the right place. And they want you to shine. And they don't discourage you from doing certain things, but they'll really try to make an assessment as to where you want to be. And it's really good. And so for me, I never realized 10 days later I would be in the spot that I never thought I was going to be in. And I actually heard the news when I was actually in the security academy. And I never really felt, because I, you know, we had our own store in Brooklyn, and I was never really part of a company in that sense. But being part of Disney, I always felt that brotherhood right from the beginning. And when that happened, I mean, the support and the counseling, and I mean, there were people that were just, you know, praying with me right there and then. And it was just, you know, and even though maybe prayer wouldn't be a thing you'd expect, it was just, it's people just all rose to the occasion. And, you know, when I tell you, everybody from host all the way up to the top of security, the top person in security actually came to my son's wake. And it was just, it meant the world just to know I was supported. And they said to me, listen, if you want to be out of this division, we understand that, you know, you're going to come into situations where, I was like, no, I said, I want to be in this division. You know, my degree is criminal justice. I want this. And, you know, but they were so supportive and all along the way. And I could tell you Disney offers free services. So of course, now that I have the foundation and I'm involved more in, you know, suicide prevention and donating instruments, Disney has the most incredible resources for free. You can, at any time, if you have pressure or a problem, it's totally, what is it? You know, it's like going into confession. They don't really tell anybody. You just call this phone number up and you're given help. And it's totally free. And it's a tremendous place to work. It's very supportive. And they just really, really want to make you successful and want to keep you happy. And it's really probably one of the best things that they do. A lot of veterans work there, a lot of ex-police. And you don't have to be a veteran or an ex-police officer or anything to have pressure and have something going on, whether you have a trouble with alcohol or substance abuse. The resources are incredible because it's again, it's one of the most magnificent things that they do, besides making people feel like a VIP and what they do with the guest experience. Working there is just unbelievable that way.
And you know what, Al, I think in this day and age, you know, everyone's being negative about Disney and the workers and the, you know, higher ups
and Genie Plus
and
yes,
everything. So to hear what you just shared with us, gives you a different angle of what Disney is about.
And where the magic comes from.
And where the magic comes from. So I think, you know, you sharing this story at this time is, it's really good. I think it needs to be told.
There really is magic, and it doesn't get told enough. I mean, because, you know, it's something that people really don't know, because, again, I never worked in a big company. I assume there are some companies that are probably really good too, but just to know that it's so big and yet in a sense so small, and it's just, there's so many ways you can go with it. And it's great. I mean, it's, that's why people spend the whole career there. That's why they, I mean, the college program itself, free tuition, if you're, you know, you could take it at any age, but there's just so many things there that so much to offer people. And so it's great. And it's, I would highly recommend working there. I mean, if you're a Disney nerd like me, I mean, you'd want to take traditions just to see what you're going to see, because it's incredible. But to work there is just fabulous, because the opportunities are endless. It's really endless.
Getting back to your 8-hour day or traditions. So you've switched desks around. What kind of things do they talk to you about?
So the first thing you really find out about is company history. And the reason Disney started this was, you got to realize you have 100 people coming together from different backgrounds. Some people know a lot about Disney. And then you have other people who maybe are new in the country they don't know anything about Disney. So it's a very gentle company history about what we would consider the basics, because we grew up with Uncle Walt, right? But it's fabulous because Uncle Walt comes out. I call him Uncle Walt because I'm very endeared to Disney. I think he was a great guy, and he wasn't afraid to show his vulnerabilities, and I think he's one of the most iconic people. And you know, and he loved Nathan's hot dogs, so I gotta love anybody that loves Nathan's hot dogs, right? So Uncle Walt comes out, and he's very welcoming, and he gives you all these wonderful quotes that we're used to, that we grew up with him with. And it's just an extreme welcome, and you feel right away very special. You know, you'll hear things like Walt say something like, "You can dream, you can create, design, and build the most wonderful place in the world, but it requires people to make the dream a reality." And you say, "Oh my God, that's so amazing!" So we've heard that quote before. We kind of maybe grew up with that, but to someone who's never heard it, holy cow! With someone who doesn't know, it kind of hits home. And then Walt keeps talking. And you'll see a gentle history of Disney, which is how Walt Disney started, how he, where he grew up, where he was born in Chicago, and how Main Street is patterned after Marceline, Missouri. And then you go into how they started their original, him and Roy started their little histories, and how they started their company, and how it started in California. And then it shows them what they did for the war effort in World War II. Disney played a vital role in World War II. In fact, we had talked about this once, that there's only two characters who have ever been given an honorable discharge from the United States military. One is Donald Duck, and the other one is Bugs Bunny. Donald was from the Navy, and Bugs Bunny from the Marine Corps. And those were official, too. So you get your Disney history, and then they gently go into the theme parks, and just this basic facts, but done in a very fun way. When Disneyland opened, and they show, this is all done by film now. Picture the way you'd see The Mandalorian, you know, movie quality. One of the things for me when I go to traditions is, people actually even ask this, I want to buy or find out how I can buy these promotional videos, because they're that good. Wow. And they show each resort, and it's a brief little overview of the resorts and the history. So you're starting with the Disney history. And this is what you get. And then essentially they'll tell you, okay, there's lots of breaks at traditions. So that might be like 10 or 15 minutes. And you take your first break. And when you go on your break, they said, okay, there's something on the side special for you. So you go on your first break. Before you leave the room, stop at this table over here. And you go up there, and holy cow, there's your ID card right there. And you see a Disney ID card, and you're like, oh my God, I have a Disney ID card. And they're all blue. Years ago, they were different colors, but they did away with that. all blue. So now you could go out on your first break and do some heavy damage in that company D store. And everybody does it. You run out and you buy the lanyard and the, oh my God, you buy the magnetic, you buy shirts, umbrellas, whatever. You run forward in the car, you know, it's just fabulous. So then you go, you come back from break. And then there's essentially six key items that Disney wants to touch on. And so then you come back from your break and then you're going to do Disney trivia. And it's also the first half of traditions, the first 4 hours is just a lot of fun and team building and stuff. So you'll come back and you do something like Disney trivia and you'll do something like they'll put a letter on the table. And it's how many characters can you come up with from with the letter G or the letter A or the letter B? And what Disney loves to do is, and they'll ask you questions along the way, and they love giving out what we call critters. You know, the little PVC Disney things, the rubber things that the kids play with, or you'll see them like at different places. We call them critters, but they're the little figures of Figment and Mickey and Donald and Pluto. And so when you answer a question correctly, they give you one of these critters. So you get what they call swag, right? They call it swag.
Yeah. That would be me. I'd have to collect all of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, Disney's really good, too, because, you know, every traditions you're going to have, say, people like us. We, and again, nobody knows everything, but you kind of know some of the things or whatever. And they'll do a great job of just, okay, they identify pretty quick. All right, this guy, he knows Disney. We're not going to call on him because he's, you know, we want to give it to the guy who just new in the country or just learning or whatever. So they're very fair with it. And you know, and it's, and what you learn at the tables is you work, all of the things you're doing is you're working as a team, you're team building. So that's the first lesson that Disney's teaching you is really to work as a team, you know, and to navigate these things. Hey, Al's got a Brooklyn accent and this guy's from Boston. He's got a Boston accent. And, you know, this other lady comes from England and, you know, everyone's together and they're all doing these different things. And it's a great team building experience. And so you do your Disney trivia and then, guess what? It's time for another break. So, okay. You're like, great. We're going to go on a break now. Wait, we have something for you on the table right over here. And you're like, okay, what could this be? You go out to the table on the side. And what is it? Your Disney name tag. Oh, and they're all sitting there. And you're like, oh, my God. And you look and you look. And there's 100 of them there. And you look for yours. And Al from Brooklyn. Oh, my God. You know, you get your Disney name tag and you pin that thing on and you just, the feeling is out of this world of that. And so, you know, you pin on your name tag and you go out and you come back.
We are just about to hear a very funny story from Al, where he shares with us about a cast member named Richard, who wanted to have his nickname used for his cast member's badge. While there is no profanity or X-rated content, we still feel that if you're listening to this episode with children, you might either want to pause for now or fast forward about 6 minutes, rather than try to explain to them what you are laughing at.
And in my case, we had a very funny story that I'll recount right here. So... So, of course, they'll tell you when you come back, okay, if there's a, you know, they make the name tags right at Disney University. They're not sending away to somewhere for it. They've got the machine right there. So you come back, and there's usually maybe one or two people up there, maybe that you know, spell the name wrong. Say your name is Kristen, and it's E-N instead of I-N or something. So, you know, they're going to fix that. So I come back from break, you know, and we have different ages of people in there. And what Disney does, too, is a lot of people don't realize if you're going to work with your husband and wife, they were doing a thing before the pandemic for a long time. I don't know if I've seen it after that, but they try to put you in the same store or whatever. So anyway, husband and wife, about 70 years old, both taking traditions at the same time. Well, we walk back into the room, and here's this older lady, an older gentleman. The man is about 6'5", and you can see he's like an old like Navy guy or something, very like neat type of guy. And they're standing there and they're talking. And of course, it's not a big room. And the lady is speaking and she's saying, I don't understand it. I don't know why he can't have that name on his name tag. Now, Disney is very politically correct. I could tell you from having a Hallmark store We used to have a wedding, if you remember way back before there was digital invitations, when you guys got married, maybe you had these, and they still have them, these huge wedding books that were like tremendous. They were like maybe 10 pounds each. Well, we had a book that was just for Disney invitations, and we had to send that. If someone wrote something on an invitation, I would proof it. It would have to go to someone at Disney. It was actually Carlson Craft that had the license for it, and I think they still do. So someone from Disney had to sign off on that. And we never had a problem except for once when we had a couple that wanted – they didn't want children at the wedding. So they sent out the invitations, and they had no children, please, at the bottom of it. Someone from Disney saw that, and they said, no, we can't put this on an invitation. We have to switch this to adults only. So Disney is very PC with their stuff. So now we come. Wow. Yeah, isn't that something? So we walk back from break, right? So we see this older man and older lady standing there, right? So they're having an issue with the name tag. And we're like, what could this be over? So the lady says, I don't understand it. I don't know why he can't have that on his name tag. So, you know, the instructors are standing there and they're saying, well, Disney felt that it wasn't really politically correct. So we're still trying to gather what's going on. And she says, look, I don't understand it. We're married a very long time. I met him in 1969 after he was discharged from the Vietnam War. He was in the army and he was always known as Big Dick. And we start, oh my God, we're biting our sleeve. Cause you know, you're in business casual. I'm hearing this and I'm literally biting my sleeve, you know? And I'm like, what in the world? You know? So she said, listen, he was always Big Dick. You know, back in his unit, there were two guys named Dick. You know, you see 6'5". He was Big Dick, and they had another guy, Little Dick. And she's talking, and we're all hysterical. And so along the way, the man kind of gets it. And he's, okay, you know, I think I'm understanding this. And she's like, listen, I don't understand it. What's the problem? This is his name. His name is Big Dick. To me, he's always Big Dick, you know? And we're laughing and laughing. So finally the man says, he goes, okay. He goes, I guess I understand it. He says, so can I just be a regular dick? So the instructors are like, they look at each other like, yeah, that's what we have on here. Let me tell you, this husband and wife, they, you know how like in high school things happen, they vote the most popular people, whatever.
Yeah.
They were so, because you know, you wouldn't think they were the oldest couple in there, right? They were the oldest people. They were so popular during this traditions class. Everybody loved them. I think, I don't know if they're still working there, but they were going into merchandise. And by God, they were so popular that people went up to them. They were shaking their hand. And the lady still didn't quite get it, I don't think. But she was like, what's going on here? You know, why, you know? And the man just, he was eating it up. I mean, this big, tall guy, you know? So people are like, all right, good luck, just plain Dick, take care. And the lady's name was Sarah, you know. So, okay, Sarah, take care. So, oh my God. So these are the kind of things that you never know what's going to happen at Disney and politically correct and stuff, but it's just a whole lot of fun. So you're doing your first 4 hours is generally a lot of fun. You're doing the team building thing. They're going to talk about some of the things we talked about last week, which is like the Disney codes. Like, you'll find out interesting stuff that I didn't even know when I worked there. Like we all know that when you work at Disney, you're a host or a hostess, right? And that you're a cast member. But did you guys know what, if you work on Disney Cruise Line, right? You know, you're not really called a cast member. Do you know what you're called?
Crew member?
Yes, you're a crew member. Exactly. See, I never knew that. When I took traditions even, I was like, I didn't know that. I just thought they were, yeah, they call them crew members. So you learn a little Disney lingo. You learn some of your codes. Again, Walt Disney comes out in between. You learn a little bit more stuff like that. And then what happens is, and we're going to touch on this in another show, another incredible thing happens at Traditions. When you go to lunch, you actually go to lunch at the Magic Kingdom in the tunnel, in the Utilidor. But we're going to save that one for another show.
Woohoo!
Cool. Oh my God, it's incredible. So yeah, so you've done your first half. You've gone to the Utilidor, and we're going to talk about that another time. So you come back from there. Now you're really buzzing. Oh my God, you've come back from there, and you sit down for your second half of the day. And this is where some of the college students tend to like not like the second half of the class a little bit, because for me, I really got more out of the second half because I know the Disney history and I don't know everything, but I want to know about clocking in. I want to know about sick days. I want to know about all the soup and, you know, the meat and potatoes of working at Disney. So the second half of traditions is fun, but it's where you're going to get the meat and potatoes of Disney. So now the biggest buzzword of Disney right now is they're talking about, we used to be the four keys. So the four keys were always safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. In the last 6 months, they've added a fifth one, and it's called inclusion. So basically, you know, safety, when you do your safety part of the class, you're talking about, now again, Steve is in construction, so you would probably know most of these things, but they teach you things about material safety, data sheets, you know, basically reading bottles of, if you're going to use a cleanser, make sure you read a bottle. You never smell, if you're going to use something to clean something, you don't just sniff the bottle. And they do this in a very cute way. They have Goofy as like the main protagonist doing all the Goofy things.
Oh.
So you see Goofy's going to clean like a table, and Goofy, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to clean a table. You know, he doesn't say it because it comes in the bottom. And he looks at the thing and he sniffs it. No, Goofy, don't do that. You never sniff a chemical like that. You know, so people laugh. So it's done in a very cute way. So safety is just really what it comes down to, you know, lifting things a certain way and not smelling the chemicals. So that's the safety part. Courtesy, you could figure out, which is, you know, Disney's known for its courtesy. It's smiling, making eye contact, you know, not standing with your arms, you know, together, being like standoffish. They teach you to seek out guest contact. You know, you're talking about greeting each and every person when they come in. It's just a courtesy thing, doing guest recoveries. You know, just if you don't know the answer, you're going to find someone that's going to know the answer. So that's the courtesy part of it. The show part of it is more maybe what we talked about, like the whole thing of where you're working is the show. It's so essentially like your workplace is your show area. It's like everything is like theater. And, you know, you want to keep your show place clean. You want to say appropriate things. You want to talk Disney code. You want to dress in the Disney look. You want to maintain character integrity. So if someone says to you, oh, hey, how does Tinkerbell, what's the idea of that wire in the Magic Kingdom? You know, you want to say, hey, that's cable TV for Cinderella. You're not going to say, oh, that's the thing that Cinderella, you know, that she comes down on, you know. So they're teaching you that kind of stuff. So did you guys have any questions along the way? Because I'm rambling on here.
Oh, no. I do have one.
Yeah.
Very important for some people who are going. Do you get paid for
these
traditions?
Yes, and you know, it's a great question you have, Steve, because for the longest history, and I don't know if they rolled this back enough because people were complaining about it. Cast was complaining. You do get paid the 8 hours, mm-hmm. but the last 6 months or so, because I took traditions last in 2019, in about 2020, before COVID hit, they actually did a thing called training pay. So it was basically you weren't getting, if you were getting, say, $15 an hour, you would get something like $12 an hour, training pay.
Right.
Yeah, you do get paid.
Is there anyone that doesn't have to take traditions? And I mean, does Bob Iger take it?
No, supposedly they do. Now, it's a good question you have, too, because it's funny because There's definitely a disconnect when it comes to, like, and I'm not going to say all, but when you'll usually have someone in there in the shirt and the tie, and you kind of get the feeling that they're in maybe a higher end type of job at Disney, because Disney, they've got some really high end jobs. So I can tell you that I don't know about Bob Chapek taking it or Bob Iger, but supposedly they did. But I can tell you that some of these senior managers do have to take it. And unfortunately, most of the ones that I've seen taking it, there's a little bit of a disconnect. Like the ones that have the most fun are just the people who have just going in there to enjoy the job, or maybe they've retired and stuff. And, you know, there's been amazing people, you know, people work at Disney. We most recently had a guy who was an admiral. He was like a rear admiral who had worked in security, and they were trying. He kind of didn't, you know, put it on his resume kind of thing, and they found out about it, and they really wanted to make him like a senior manager or whatever, and he really just wanted a regular job, and he ended up leaving and doing something else. But yeah, I mean, everybody's got to take traditions, but when you get some of the people who are in some of those jobs, and again, I haven't taken every traditions class. I mean, I don't sit in every one, obviously, but sometimes with those guys, they don't really blend it the way, you know, maybe some of the other people do, but they try. I don't think they feel uppity. I just think they feel like a little disconnected because they say to themselves, wow, I'm going to be in a, you know, in some kind of tech job when I'm going to be at the health desk, and I'm not going to really, I think it hits them later on of the vital role that they play. I think the people who are going to be more frontline cast members kind of embrace traditions initially a little more. And I think once you, because I could tell you, once you call tech support for your password or whatever, they are fabulous. And I think, but it hits them a little bit later than, or maybe because, you know, again, I'm a guy who wears my heart on my sleeve. Maybe they tend to be a little more controlled emotionally. I really don't know different people, but I do find out that later on, it tends to hit those people more. But it's the frontline cast members that really get super psyched to go shopping and go into the Utilidor and all this other kind of stuff.
Actually, Al, can we just go back? You were talking about safety, courtesy, show.
Yes.
I'm missing one, yes. Aren't I?
So it's safety, courtesy, efficiency, and show. Those were like the mainstays for a long, long time. And they just added a new, these are the five keys. And the one that they just added about 6 months ago is inclusion. And inclusion is just basically, we a lot of people felt that we didn't need it because we're already, you know, including people, and we're already, it's already incorporated under, like, to us, courtesy is part of that. But they felt, the higher up of Disney felt, we needed to put the word inclusion in there just to show that everybody is included, whether you know, and but that's always how it was done at Disney, because if you guys know your history, which I'm sure you know, Disney was the first company to give what's it called when two people are the same sex and they're married, to give rights to the person, like an insurance and stuff like that, when the other person passed away or whatever. Disney was the first major company to do that. So Disney has always been at the forefront of those kind of things. So anyway, they added inclusion. And so we talked about safety, courtesy, and show. And efficiency is just about, you know, clocking in on time. It's about knowing your location and your surrounding areas, like knowing where the restrooms are. Because, you know, you're going to get those questions a lot wherever you are working. It's knowing, you know, your role. Because, you know, you don't have a job at Disney. You have a role. And, you know, it's also knowing your resources. It's knowing, you know, what person might speak China, you know, Mandarin. If you need a guest who speaks a certain language, or, you know, where to find someone will ask you about a food allergy. So if you're working at merchandise and you're selling the cookies, someone might say, hey, my kid is allergic to tree nuts. What does this have that? You know, there's usually someone there who, if there isn't someone directly there, you could phone somebody up with, and they have all these things written in the books. But you just to know where your resources are, whether it be to call somebody or whether it be to look in a book, just knowing where that is. So that goes under the efficiency part of it.
Okay. I mean, this might sound silly, but have you ever heard of anyone who's taken traditions but not made it through the day?
Yes, there in the last traditions class that I took.
Oh wow! Okay.
There was a guy, and he was lukewarm. You know, he was sitting at the table next to us, next to me, right? And he just got through like 4 hours, and he was coming back from the Disney tunnel. Now you have to say, wow, coming back from the tunnel, this is really hardcore. He wants to be somewhere else. He just was walking. We were on the bus coming back, and he was like, you know what? I don't really think this is for me. I'm seeing and hearing it, and I'm seeing some of the other people. I don't think this is a fit for me. So while he was, we came back. We still had a few minutes before class started. He actually texted somebody. He took another job somewhere. When class was just about to start, he went up to the instructors and said, you know, hey, you know, thank you very much, but this really is not for me. And I just took another job working somewhere. And he waved to everybody, and out he went.
Wow.
Kind of like the kids in Willy Wonka, you know. He just, you know, not saying he wasn't worthy, but, you know, he just went down that hallway. And, you know, yeah, so I have seen that. It's, you know, you can really see how that can happen to somebody, because it's, you know, it's like going to a Star Wars convention or a Star Trek convention. And it's in a sense where you're like, oh my God, look at these people I'm working with, how Disney centric they are and how amazed they are with the company. And they know all this history, and how could I ever be like that or whatever? But you find out that, you know, nobody knows everything. And someone might know Marvel very well, but they don't know Star Wars very well. And it takes a village. And once you work at Disney, you realize that, because you would have to be R2-D2 or have this incredible memory bank to know every story and everything. It's impossible. Nobody knows it. So, but yeah, I've seen it.
Wow.
Yeah.
At what stage do you meet Mickey?
Ah, so Mickey comes in right at the very end.
I did the spoiler, right?
No, not at all. Well, it depends on scheduling, because as we say in the park, he's scheduled to appear. They don't tell you Mickey's going to appear. So Mickey typically comes by toward the end, but he could come by during the middle. Mickey has something to do, right? Because there's only one Mickey Mouse, right? Oh, and that's something they teach you with traditions too, which is how many Mickeys are there? And people throw it out there. Well, there's got to be, you know, this many in Hollywood studios. And like, no. This is for a critter. How many Mickeys are there? And there'll be one Mickey. That's right. There was just one Mickey. And even though someone will say, oh, I saw him over there. And he had, well, Mickey's got a lot of outfits. He goes on the flying carpet. He's one Mickey, right? Oh, here's a great one that they get everybody with in traditions. So when you first go in, you introduce yourself and you say what role you're going to be playing, you know, security, merchandise, whatever you happen to be. And when everybody says what they're doing, they'll say, well, okay, again, how many people here are in custodial? And there's usually a couple in custodial, right? So two guys will raise their hand, let's just say, and the instructors will look and they'll say, "What? How come the rest of you folks aren't raising your hands? And we're not in custodial." Oh, yes, you are. Has anybody heard of the Disney Swoop? And someone will be like, oh, yeah. Isn't that like when you pick up the trash? Yep. They're like, yes. Every person, it's the one division in Disney, besides being a host or a cast member, everybody in Disney is in custodial. And it's all about show. It's all about the show and efficiency and safety. And you'll always get something, well, it's not too safe for me. What if picking up trash? No, you swoop it, you pick it up.
Okay, so I do have a question, and it's the opposite of what I asked you. My question was, has anyone left traditions? What about the opposite? Has anyone been told to leave during traditions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, along the way, I mean, in the beginning, when they check whether you've got business attire, they'll tend to make you leave then. But no, I haven't seen... Traditions is typically, you know, a fun environment, and people tend to behave themselves, because it's kind of like austere. It's kind of like being like in a very nice library. You're kind of playing that role, right? But I haven't seen that in traditions. But when I was in my security training, which each division has different lengths of training. Monorail was 3 weeks. Security, I mean, we're always learning, so it's never like you know everything, obviously. But the official training until you really signed off is like 2 weeks. So I had seen that like my second day into security in the academy, whereas this guy didn't want to put his phone away. We were going from one park to another and he just kept texting, and they must've told him 5 times, listen, you're at work. You don't bring your phone out. It's rude. But we're in a car, whatever. He kept going on and on and on. And he did it all throughout the day. And it wasn't like, because believe me, Disney is very accommodating. If you go and you tell them, hey, listen, my mom is having a surgery, I might have to make a phone call. They're all about that. They are behind you 100%. They don't want you doing it on stage. They'll tell you, please walk up stage, but, you know, just whatever. But this guy, it was nonsense stuff, just texting on Facebook or whatever. They literally got him and they fired him on the spot. They drove him back and they said, listen, we told you 5 times. We already talked to the manager. This is the manager on the phone. You're done. And we even have a very funny term for that. Because if you say, hey, what happened to Steve? He was here in the morning. He's gone now. Al, what happened to him? And I'll say, well, you know what happened to Steve? He got promoted to guest.
Oh, what a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. It's all Disney speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you did traditions twice. So my question to you is this. If you've already done it once, why do they make you take it again later on when you sort of like come back into the company?
Right. Well, there's a rule. If you come back within 6 months, 6 months is a big number for Disney, because I've gone past the 6 months now. But if you leave the company and like say, is it 6 months? No, it's not quite 6 months. So if I decided yesterday and they were willing to have me back, I could go back to Disney. I still probably have 2 weeks, right? I could go back and I would still keep my seniority and my time. But if you're out of the company more than 6 months, to answer your question, they do make you take traditions again, because they figure, you know, it's cheaper to give you traditions and pay you for one day than it would be to settle a lawsuit or have you get hurt and have you sniffing a chemical or doing something that's not really, you know, politically correct or whatever. So it's worth their while to send you back. And again, you got to realize by them doing that, it makes jobs. You know, yeah, it's important for the people teaching traditions. It helps the people at casting. It just keeps everyone busy. So it keeps the machine going. Costuming, you know, all the this. When you get hired, you know, it costs the company about $500 or $600 just to kind of get you into the company, between background checks and materials and costumes and, you know, putting you through traditions and your training. And it's amazing how much it costs. But yeah, so that's why they do it. So if you're under your 6 months, no, but over 6 months, they're going to put you back into it.
And I don't know if you would have this answer. I don't know if you know anyone recently that went through traditions, Al, but post-COVID, pre-COVID, has traditions changed at all? Do you know?
Yes, I actually know two young ladies who I work with. I told you I was a lead at the Disney store in Times Square. Two of the ladies who worked as cast members there, they decided to go to the college program. And I was just in contact with both of them during the week, because, you know, it's a tight group. You know, your cast members, it's kind of like being in the military. It becomes like a brother and sisterhood. So we all kind of keep in touch. And especially now, since so many Disney stores have closed. But these two ladies just took traditions, and I spoke to both of them. And those were the ones who told me about taking it at their dorms. And so post-COVID, what's really happened, and this is kind of a, I guess it would be a negative to traditions. They used to have about a half hour of leeway where, like, see, I'm kind of a guy, I kind of go with the flow. I know a lot of stuff, but depending on the audience, I'll go a certain which way. But what COVID did, because of the COVID situations and because of the health environment now, that half hour, which is where you would hear something like I told you before about Piglet being the official unofficial mascot of merchandise, or official mascot of merchandise, you would hear that from a merchandise person. If someone from Monorails was teaching the class, it would be more Monorail centric. So what the health crisis has done, it's taken away that 30 minutes of what you call free time. So now that's been taken up with wearing the mask and washing your hands more. And it's more of that. And that falls in the second half of the class. So both of these young ladies, and I didn't talk to them at the same time, both of them said the same thing, that they really loved the first half of traditions. And they weren't so crazy about the second half, because it had to do more with this kind of thing, which Disney, of course, has to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't as crazy about the second half of it. So I think for them, that's why they made sure Mickey came in and the second half for them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, before, I do have a question, but I think it's more at the end of your day at tradition. So
yeah.
Was there anything else that you wanted to sort of like share before you kind of your day is done? Because my next question would follow that, and I can hang on to it.
Right. So, yeah, so that's basically the long and short of traditions. What I wanted to share was, again, it all ties into the company being so amazing and fantastic, is that, and I don't want to say I'm not working for Disney now. We're doing our lovely podcast, but I just, the company is so endearing for me. But when tradition ends, right? So you kind of, you kind of have this bond that you create. You've been to the Utilidor with these hosts, and you've been with them for 8 hours, and you've kind of graduated, and they'll tell you, you've officially, you know, graduated. And at the very end of traditions, it's a strange thing, because all of a sudden they'll tell you, look, they'll give you another like really nice Walt Disney quote, you know, something really awesome that he says about maybe your possibilities are endless. What they did for mine is they had a thing called the Catherine moment, which was this girl who came to the park and they had done special things for her because she had a disability. And they'll tell you, well, think about it. What is going to be, you know, you're going to leave now. What is going to be your Catherine moment? What are you going to do for the first guest that you meet, that whatever? And, you know, that's what you go out thinking. And as they're saying their goodbyes and they're, you know, answering some little questions along the way about maybe clocking in or they're doing a recount, you'll all of a sudden see someone magically appear at the door. And say if you're working at the Emporium, as a for instance, because I had worked there for a little bit, right? You'll see someone standing there. Say it's a man. He's dressed in the suspenders and the brown pants, and he's got this Jiminy Cricket trainer pin, which I had one. I was so proud of that pin. And you look, and you're like, what's this guy standing in the doorway? And he just stands there, and one of the instructors will go over to him. They have a few words, and the instructor will say, Sheila, Steve, Al, Ed is here for you. And you look, and you hear your name, and like, all of a sudden, you leave in the room with this, you know, this group that you've gotten so used to, and you go into this new, you know, who is this guy, Ed? And he's dressed up, you know, in the Emporium clothes, and you know you're working at the Emporium, right? So you go with this guy, Ed, and where will you go? You typically go now to the canteen, which is where I told you earlier you can have breakfast there and all that. Well, when traditions ends at like 5 o'clock, they've usually closed by 4:30. So now it's a pretty decent sized cafeteria. You'll go in with this guy, Ed, and he introduces himself, and everyone's different. He'll introduce himself and say, hi, my name is Ed. I'm from the Emporium. I'm one of the trainers, and I'll be helping with your onboarding. Let's go to the canteen. We'll sit down and we'll discuss, you know, your next aspects after this point. So you go there and Steve will talk to you. Okay, well, Al, we have you coming in on this day, and we have Sheila, you're coming on this day, and Steve, you're coming in. And the first place, you know, we're going to meet right across the street. You know, when you went to the Utilidor, you saw there was a Disney costuming there. Well, on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'll meet you right up front at the front of costuming, and we'll get you fixed up with your Disney costumes. And you can answer, you know, you ask them a couple little questions or whatever, and okay, great. And so they'll hand you a paper, and it lays out your training or your schedule for the first week. So it'll be like costuming, it'll be like the first day. And then if you're going into merchantainment, your week will continue with Disney University in what they call merchantainment class. If you're going to monorail, it'll be something else. And, you know, so one by one, so typically, you know, I was maybe halfway through, and you keep seeing these people showing up in Disney costumes, monorail, and merchandise, and attractions, and people getting, and so what's happening, you're waiting for your name to be called. And it's like, you know, I don't know, Santa Claus calling your name or something. And you hear your name being called, and you go over, and it's like, wow. And you sit there, and now it really hits you that, you know, you're part of the company, and you're just sitting there. It's really happening now. You know, the reality really hits at that point. So, yeah.
You spend the whole day at the university. Do you ever go back for the classes at the university?
Yes. Most of the classes are given at Disney University. It's classes. Like, I could tell you for security that, like, when I worked Dream Squad, I took a class that called Characters, Integrity, and Personality. One of the best classes I ever took, because if you take that class, it enables you to do character autographs. So even though I wasn't proficient at it, 12 years of Catholic school couldn't straighten my left-handed handwriting out, really. So I would do the simple autographs like Pluto and this Goofy and Sleepy, and, you know, Mickey was okay. But the princesses had very difficult ones. But, yeah, so I took that class there. And, you go there for promotional type tests. When I became a Disney trainer, I went for a training there. There's a special class you take called Train the Trainer, which you go in, and it basically, it's not specific to your area, but it's basically like a leadership class. And it's like a 5-hour class. And when you finish that class, they give you a Jiminy Cricket pen, which I was always very proud of. I had one on Dream Squad and I had one on security. And it just means that you're a trainer. And what it really means is the big picture is that you're not just a trainer, because when you work at Disney and you're a trainer, you get paid a dollar more, and 50 cents to a dollar, depending on your area. So when you're doing your training, you get paid a dollar extra. But most of us who are trainers, we wear the pin all the time, because when you're a trainer and you're walking through the utility door, let's just say, you'll have other cast members come up to you who are new, and they'll say, how do I get to the Mouseketeeria? How do I get to Kingdom Cutters, which is the haircut place, which I'm jumping ahead to the utility door. But so basically, I lived it 24 hours a day. I lived being a cast member 24 hours a day. I lived the trainer thing. I always, you guys know me long enough. I always love a conversation, and I love the teaching aspect of it. And it's really important, because, everyone, especially in a place like that, which is a big place, and people can get a little scared, or it could be their first job, or it could be their 100th job. They want to know. They want to go to someone who knows, and someone who hopefully is going to – they're wearing that trainer pin for a reason, because their area thought that they were, not good enough, but just understanding enough and able to have the patience to answer these type of questions. And so I lived it. I my friend Neil, who I was on Dream Squad with, he teases me all the time about me and my trainer pin. He's like, Al, you never took that thing off. Whether you even when we switched to our white vests on Dream Squad, which when we gave out a prize like the castle, we'd always put our white vests on, and I'd always put my trainer pin on there, and it was just, I just lived it. I lived it all the time. And, So you take bunches of classes in there. Any class you take, you pretty much take in at Disney University. So it is a viable school. At any given time, there's lots of stuff going on. When you go in there, and you're allowed to go in there to go to Company D to buy, say, a SeaWorld ticket. When you walk in there, they'll just check your ID, and you'll walk in and you look on the board, and it's fascinating. You'll see what's going on that day. It's a who's who of who's coming and what's going on. And I used to always do it. It's like, wow, this is going on today. Wow, I'd love to take that class. Or, holy cow, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that class. So yeah, it's they're constantly learning and teaching in there.
Okay. Now, you talked about having guns on the property and the fact that, the university is, classed as school, et cetera.
Yes.
Would that be the same for someone carrying drugs as well?
Correct.
Okay.
And I can tell you what's really amazing that people don't understand, or they understand it, but Disney is private property. It's owned by the Disney company. So with that in mind, people, it's an incredible thing to research the absolute power. And I've been telling you how great Disney is, but when you see the absolute power that Disney has, where they are and what they are able to accomplish, here's another amazing fact that people don't realize. Because Disney's is private property, there is a zero, when I say a zero weapons policy on Disney property, the only people who are allowed to carry weapons on Disney property are officers from Orange County or Osceola County, because they're deputies who pick up, it's called Sector 6. Disney is its own sector. That's how big Disney is. So Orange County had to add an extra sector to their police units. So if you ever hear Sector 6, it refers to Disney. Even an FBI agent, a Secret Service agent, if they come into the park, and it happens at least once a day if you work security at Epcot or Disney, right? Unless you're on the job guarding the president or doing something official, you are not able to carry a weapon on Disney property. They don't care if you're Secret Service. They don't care if you're corrections. They don't care if you're FBI. Zero tolerance. And, of course, what happens is when you come on with a weapon, you're going through the most sophisticated system. It's called the Evolve system. It is an amazing system. I got to train it. I got to work it. It's what we use at Disney. It is incredible. And it picks up everything and anything. So if someone beeps coming through there and you bring them over to the table, and sometimes it's in the bag, Sometimes it's on their person. Once we find something, our first question is, are you licensed to carry this? Are you a law enforcement? We call it, here's another term, a LEO. It's called a law enforcement officer. Are you a LEO? Are you a government? Oh, yes, here's my credentials. Okay, well, we appreciate your service, but this is private property. We're going to have the officers come over from Orange County. They're going to talk to you. We're going to put your weapon in the security office. You'll be able to retrieve it. It's not a big deal, but you're not able to carry this on property. We're going to give you the choice. You could take it out, take it back to your resort, in which case we follow them. We make sure that they're really going back there. Or you could put it in the locker, and we'll give you a receipt up in the security office. Happens a lot.
Ignorance is no excuse, I know. Everyone should be doing their research before they go to places like Disney. But I'm just trying to think, you know, I come on property. I'm trying to think the first time I would see a sign that says no guns.
No.
Correct. And that is one of the arguments. That's what usually with the first thing what people say who don't know. We've said it too. There should be, you know, we've talked about this, but then the answer from the Imagineers has been typically, we don't want to mention that word when people are coming on property. We don't want to, it's all about going into Walt's world. That's the whole idea of going on the monorail and the ferry boat. You're being transported from the regular world into Walt's world. And we don't want that being said, whether it be, you know, I mean, Disney Springs is the number one place we get the most weapons, but they don't want that being said. So you're right. There is no, unless you read on the back of the ticket, it'll mention it.
Yeah,
or you know it.
I was about to say, yeah.
There is nothing. There is no sign telling you you're not allowed to bring weapons. Now, of course, me coming from Brooklyn, New York is like New York and like Washington, D.C. They're like the hardest states to get a weapons license. I could tell you in the boroughs, there's like 10 million people living where I grew up in like a 25-mile radius or whatever. There's one detective who works in one police plaza who handles the weapon licenses. That's to give you an idea of how hard it is to get a weapon in New York. So me coming from New York, obviously I'm not carrying, but in the states, you know, states typically in the South or, you know, even in the Midwest, you know, states, especially Florida, Florida is considered a hunting state. It's very easy to get, as long as you don't have a criminal record, almost everybody has a weapons license in Florida. Men, women especially, if you guys ever go to a gun shop down here, you'd be really surprised to see that there's a heck of an assortment of guns for ladies, you know, purple, things with flowers on them, you know, really? It's smaller caliber weapons that are ergonomically fit. You know, ladies tend to have smaller hands. You'd be very surprised. Lots of people carry in Florida. Lots of people carry, up until recently in Arizona, you could go to a Starbucks and sit there with an open holster in a Starbucks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What? Wow. Okay. I know I live in the South, but the English in me, no, it's not for me.
A weapon could be anything. You know, we have people, you know, people try to bring in like jumper cables. It's crazy. Some of the stuff people just forget that they have with them. So a weapon could be, you know.
Yeah, and I know, Al, I'm doing it again. I'm shutting you off here because I know one of the upcoming shows, we are talking about security.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Yes. Listeners, so that's we'll your appetizer.
That. Yes.
Actually, I do want to, before you start winding up, I do want to go back to training.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I know of at least one person that was on one of our recent shows who's just got accepted into the college program. And, some of this doesn't apply to her, but some of it will. So for her, Cassidy, here you go. So, all right, you've done your traditions. You're now doing your training within the park and classes at the university, and you go around with your little badge and that nice little red ribbon that says earning my ears.
Yes.
How long does that last for?
That's a great question, Sheila. That is a really great question. And speaking about the people who or hosts who just kind of want to milk it a little bit, let's just say, you can kind of, you know, me personally, and I'll tell you, this is the truth. and I've worked at the Disney store and I've worked at the parks. I couldn't wait to take that off because it's, you know, how could I say it? You're in the park or you're in your location and someone just, they're not looking at the little red thing. Cause you know, we have colorful costumes. Let's face it. Right. They start speaking to you and they'll say, oh, hey, I have this item that I want to return and I, this and that, and it's too big or whatever. And you'll say, okay, well, this is what you have to do, whatever. And as they're talking to you, they see earning my ears. And you just get, and maybe because I'm left-handed, I don't know, but you just get this automatic feeling. Their composure just kind of changes. And they're like, okay. Thank you very much. And then they'll, someone will just go to another cast member right there. And they'll ask the same question because they don't think you're telling, you don't, not that you're dumb, but they don't think you're telling them the right answer. They're worried, you know, it's not the right answer. So I couldn't wait to take it off. So typically you, before you take that off, you sign off. So what they kind of say, you're signing your life away. Cause once you sign those papers that you're trained, I mean, it's not an absolute cause you know, no one knows everything, but basically once you sign, after your training is done, however long it is, they make you sign papers that, hey, I know how to do this. I know how to drive the monorail. I know how to bring it into the station. Blah, 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 you know. Once you sign all that off, you're officially, and this is going to be another show, Disney Discipline, right? Once you sign off, you're open to the Disney Discipline of if you do something wrong, then you can be, you know, typically you get a coaching first, then you get a verbal, then you get a written, and then you'll be termed. But if you do something really off the wall, it can go from A to D really quickly, and there's no have to be, you know, it doesn't have to follow that, but Typically, it would work that way if you're running, you're in merchandise and your register drawer is short. The magic number typically is $10. So if you're always short $11, $12, let's just say. You'll get a coaching, you'll get a verbal, you'll get a written. And then the fourth time it happens, you know, within a certain time, you'll be termed. You'll get promoted to guest.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So to answer your question, you can keep it on, I'd say about 2 weeks, but I know people, roughly about two weeks. And, you know, like I said, for me, I couldn't wait to take it off. I know a guy who works, and he's a great guy, but he's just, you know, he's not there just for a paycheck, but he's not really Disney-centric. It's convenient. It's near his house, and he likes his job, and he's got friends there, but it wouldn't kill him if, you know, he did something else. He actually told me, he goes, this is my license to be stupid. When I have this on, I don't have to worry about anything. So he literally kept it on. They had to tell him, okay, it's been 3 weeks. can you take it off now? Are you okay with it? Yeah, I think I'm okay with it now. And the guy knew everything. He's a smart guy. He knew everything, but he was like, I'm just going to milk it. I'm not going to have to worry. Because he's not into, you know, training a pin or talking about a movie. Or he's just, you know, he's, I want to go to work. I'll do a good job. But the other stuff, the fluff, I'm not into all that fluff. He goes, I'll save that for you, you know.
But you know something, Carl? I don't think I'm alone on this. I'm the opposite of what you thought customers was doing to you, or not thought, maybe they were doing it to you. Right. I look at the cast member that's got that red ribbon on, and I engage. You know, I want to know, you know, how long they've been doing it, where they're from. Our latest one was the PhotoPass girl. Mm-hmm. In Hollywood, and we engaged with her on a conversation. Yes. And oh, you know what?
She was here on asylum.
Yes, but if I know this senior, what do you call them? Upper management close by, mm-hmm. the girl that's wearing, or the boy that's wearing the red ribbon, I make a point of just saying, you know, just, oh, you did a great job, you know, good luck. I'm so excited when I see these people with red ribbons.
Yes, and you're a really good person, and I really do the same thing. I was just doing it yesterday in this restaurant called PDQ. It was a guy just starting his first day. You're a good person, and the good people, the good guests, they do that. And you're just a great person, and, you know, that's what a lot of people tend to do because they want people to be successful. And, you know, so you're right. I mean, there are a lot of people that do that, and yet, but there are other people who just, other guests who just, like, they're so focused on their problem that they want a solution. And you got to realize they're at Disney. I mean, this is the one thing, and we've talked about this a little bit. Things that happen at Disney fit in, you know, and there's a million people on property every day, literally, right? things happen there, but it's so much more, people are so much more crestfallen when it happens at Disney that they just want to get the resolution and they want to find the right answer. And sometimes they're just not thinking about someone's feelings about it the way you would. And, you know, it's just how it is. And, you know, I used to tell people in merchandise that, you know, you want to try to take it off because, you know, nowadays that we don't see cash as much anymore, when we were a little more cash centric in society, it wasn't, again, they weren't forced, but people who had the earning there, and you're always with a trainer, right? Trainer's always with you, but there are times when the trainer thinks you know what you're doing, they're going to go to the restroom, or they might leave you alone for 10 minutes or something. And, you know, but what'll happen is when we were more cash centric, going back maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, Disney found that people who were trying to pass, like, say, counterfeit bills, they would seek out people with those red earning my ears, or they would go to the international cast members who they thought didn't know the money. And that's what they would pretty much do.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like, hey, you know, so that was one of the positives about, you know, cash going away a little bit. But yeah, it's always different. But, you know, I still have my I'm such a nerd, right? I still have my earning my ears sticker, right? And I don't know how many other divisions do it, but I do have another sticker in Monorail. They give you a different one. And you know what that one says?
Uh-uh.
Monorail?
No, earning my wings.
Oh!
So it's more burgundy. The one that you get earning my ears is more like a fire engine red. The Monorail one is, it's like a burgundy color with silver on it. And it says earning my wings.
Wow. And yeah. I just want to make it clear, you know, I'm not a perfect person by any means. I think when I see the cast member with the red ribbon, I think I am just envious that they're working there. And it's like, you just want to make them, you know, you want them to succeed at what they're doing. You know, I think that's it, you know. So
precisely. Yeah, exactly. Before that, after that, you just want to see them succeed. And most of them are trying so hard. And, you know, the trainer is with them and they're just really trying to get it. And, you know, and again, it's nice. And like you said, it's great to go to the manager or to the senior or whatever happens to be, even the trainer, you know, and because the trainers need it too. And to know that they're doing a great job. And here's another great thing that I could tell you why I love my trainer pin, why all the most trainers will tell you the same thing, is that when you leave the trainer, right? I kept telling you about how Disney is, they're all about your success and they're backing you up. You have a substance problem or you have other problems. There's numbers to call. When you leave the trainer after typically say, you know, if you're in merchandise, 3 days, that trainer is typically someone who's been there for a while. That trainer will typically say to you, listen, here's my Disney email. Here's my phone number. Obviously, typically, if you're working in a place like the Emporium, you're going to work with that person. So you never feel like, hey, my training is over. That's the end of the questions. Come to me at any time. If you have a problem at any time, come to me, call me, let me know. We're here for your success. Right. And this is just, it's amazing. It's just, I can't say enough great things about how the company is structured that way.
That's cool. Yeah. And you know, we have run out of time.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. I hope the listeners enjoyed it. I certainly had so much fun, as I always do with you two. It's your lovely hosts, and I'm happy to be a host with you. And I just love talking Disney. This is what we're all about, right?
Yeah, and I know you had, and unfortunately we don't have time for it tonight, Al, but make a record of it. We will definitely include it on the next segment that you do. I know you had some good news about for the Waffles Foundation today. Can I just encourage all our listeners to go over to the Waffles page on Facebook for the latest updates? We will get a verbal update, as I said, next time, Al. But can you please at least, yes, if nothing else, share where we can find the foundation?
Yes, you could find us on Facebook at the Waffles Foundation, Inc. And you could find me at our website is www.wafflesfoundation.org. And just go on and you'll find it. And I'm just going to close with what they tell you, what traditions, a very short quote, what they say when you're leaving or when you're going out of the room, you'll hear this, or the last thing that the instructors tell you. And I'll just tell everybody else out there as I sign off with you guys. Today is the beginning of your Disney story. And your story is still just getting started. So on that note, good night, listeners. Good night, Steve. Good night, Sheila.
Good night, Steve. Good night, Al.
Good night, Sheila. Good night.
Good night to our great listeners.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun, but now I've got
and thank you!